Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We continue our study as we finish up this first chapter this Lord's Day. This Lord's Day we're going to take verses 40 through 45. Read with me now the Word of God. Mark chapter 1. Beginning in verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And so, as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Amen. When we considered Jesus' first public act as the Christ, we saw how this great Messiah King had come so humbly. John the Baptist had announced the advent of the Lord God of Israel, the Holy One. He would come in order to establish His everlasting kingdom, in order to save the faithful remnant of Israel, but in order to judge the wicked and rebellious enemies. But Jesus, in His first public act, came out to John so humbly and submit to baptism. In His baptism, Jesus identified Himself with sinners. Those who came out to John had washed their sins away through faith and repentance. And that washing and cleansing was signified by their public profession of faith in the waters of baptism. Jesus came out willingly, though, not to be cleansed, but rather to identify Himself with sinners. The sins and the filth of the people, as it were put on Jesus in His water baptism, foreshadowing His baptism in blood on the cross, where all the sins of His people would be placed on Him as He was crucified and drank down the cup of God's wrath, where He drowned. The Holy One of Israel came humbly to serve sinners, to wash them of their sins, to cleanse them, to save them. But shortly after beginning His public ministry in Galilee and Capernaum, Jesus' fame and popularity greatly increased. After casting out a devil in a synagogue, Mark tells us in verse 28, immediately His fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. After entering into Peter's home that Sabbath day, Mark tells us that the whole city was gathered at the door. After retiring then to a place of solitude, Peter and the crowds, they gather and they come hunting for Jesus. But we saw last week that Jesus left. Enough was enough. And He had to get away so that He might continue to preach. "For this reason, for this purpose I came forth," He said. And so in verse 39, we read, "He was preaching in their synagogues through all Galilee and casting out demons." And now, this Lord's Day, we come to this episode where a leper searches him out in his traveling ministry around Galilee. He boldly approaches him and he begs to be cleansed. Here, Jesus continues to exercise His power and authority over sickness and disease. He completely heals this man of his leprosy. But not only that, Jesus cleanses this man. He makes him pure before God. And we learn that Jesus is willing. He's willing to heal and to cleanse every one who would come to Him in faith. Jesus is not only able, but He is willing to cleanse sinners so that we might come to God safely clothed in His incorruptible purity. Are you such a one? Are you such a sinner? Are all your deeds filth before the most holy, the most pure God? Do you need not only to be cured of your sin and love for sin, but do you need to be made pure, to be cleansed from the stain of sin? If so, look this morning to Christ, the Holy One of God, and come to Him in faith. The title of my sermon this morning is Jesus Cleanses a Sinner. And I want to open this up in three main points. I want to look in the first place at leprosy and the leper. And then the second place to consider Christ and the cleansing. And finally, duty and the disciple. So consider with me in the first place, leprosy and the leper. In verse 40, we read, "Now a leper came to Him, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him and saying to Him, 'If You are willing, You can make me clean.'" We see something here of the desperate need of this man in his urgency, in his posture, in his words. He was a helpless leper. Now leprosy, according to the Old Covenant, included a wide range of diseases and illnesses. The Hebrew word can include boils of the skin, burns, itches, ringworm. It really includes a wide range of conditions on the skin, which is very difficult to diagnose and to cure. But this word also includes what we now consider to be true leprosy, Hansen's disease, genuine leprosy. And we should think of this man as this type of leper. Why? Because Dr. Luke, in his gospel, he tells us that this man was full of leprosy. If ever there was a leper, this man was a leper. He was full of leprosy. And this was a very serious disease, and it still is today. This disease affects the nerves, the skin, the eyes, the nose. It can lead to the crippling of your hands and feet, paralysis, blindness. It can lead to your limbs literally falling off of your body. This disease spreads and infects the whole body, the flesh, the bones, the blood. It infects you inside and out. This was a life-threatening disease, and it still is today. Josephus, and a first-century Jewish historian, he describes lepers as in no way differing from a corpse. Their bodies would literally decay before your eyes. Ancient rabbis referred to them as the living dead. The leper was a walking dead man, full of disease. But in Israel, this disease was not only a diagnosis, it was a sentence. Lepers were outcast from their families and communities. God speaks in Leviticus chapter 13. Really, all of Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 are devoted to leprosy. But in Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 45, God says this, "Now, the leper on whom the sores is found, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." The leper was a desperate outcast. He was forced to quarantine from the rest of society and to dwell alone. Now, I don't want to make too much of this, but this man had to literally social distance. He could not be with others. He couldn't come near anyone. If he even passed by others, he had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, watch out, I'm coming." He not only had to social distance, but he also literally had to wear a mask. Leprosy is spread by respiratory droplets. I'm sure of this because I asked the doctor. But it's spread by respiratory droplets. And this, God says this, "He shall cover his mustache." Boom, what is that? What is that but a mask? Meaning he shall wear a mask over his mouth. And now I don't want to make too much of this, but I don't want to make too little of it. This was a command from God for the sake of Israel. For by coming near others, the leper risked infecting them. This was a law from God for the sake of Israel. And this was a sacrifice of the leper for the sake of Israel. And so God in His wisdom prescribed this in His perfect law. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But this is the point here. This wasn't just about infecting others with disease. It was about infecting others with uncleanness, impurity. Lepers were unclean. That means unfit for the worship of God in the temple, unfit to come near to God. And by coming near to others, well, the leper himself risked defiling others and making them ceremonial unclean. As a result, the leper was not only outcast from his family and community, but more importantly, he was prohibited from coming near to God in the temple. He was cut off from God and the people of God. He could not serve God. He could not worship God. He could not sacrifice to God. And so it was for this man. He was unclean in the sight of God. And he had nowhere to turn. With almost no possibility of improving his condition. He couldn't go to help to his family, nor to medical professionals, nor to the priests. He was forced to sit alone and wait. To wait for God. This disease was practically incurable. And every single biblical account of a healing of this disease was the result of miraculous divine intervention. Only God could heal leprosy. Only God could cure this man. But a leper not only had to be cured by God, but he had to be cleansed by God. Other illnesses in Israel had to be cured, but leprosy had to be cleansed. Only God could heal Moses' hand, which was turned white as snow in Exodus chapter 4. Only God could take away Miriam's leprosy, which had resulted from her own rebellion. God alone could cleanse Naaman the Syrian and cleanse him in the waters of the Jordan. Only God can purify the leper and make him fit for God. Only God can raise the dead and make him live for God. And I must now point out to you that in all of this, we see the wisdom and mercy of God. For in everything that I've said about leprosy, I might have been saying about sin. It is the wisdom and mercy of God to have peculiarly singled out this disease in His law. Two full chapters in Leviticus. It is the wisdom and mercy of God to have peculiarly singled out this disease in His gospel. All three gospel accounts record this miraculous event. And that's because leprosy is the physical analogy of sin. Think about what we've said so far about it. What is it? It's a disease. It destroys soul and body. It corrupts the whole man inside and out. The whole of sinful man is depraved. Sin infects all. It touches all. It corrupts all. It's an all-encompassing, ever-present disease. There is not one part of our human existence which has not been infected by sin. Not one part of our human nature. Not one part of our human society and relationships. What are its effects? It cuts us off from others and our community, our family. How many of us have seen sin, even our own sin, rip families apart? Even our own family. This is what sin does. It cuts us off from our family and friends. But more importantly, it cuts us off from God. Sin alienates us from God, our Maker and Judge. It defiles us and makes us unfit to come near to Him. Even for Christians saved by grace, sin cuts us off from our intimate fellowship and communion with Him. Sin cuts us off from the church. It creates division, disunity. Sin is a self-inflicting plague. But what is its cure? Like leprosy, sin, we can say, is an incurable disease. Incurable uncleanness. When Naaman the leper came to the king of Israel seeking to be healed, the king said to him, "Am I God, able to kill and to make alive, that this man comes to me to heal him of leprosy? Am I God?" Like leprosy, only God can cure your sin and make you alive. Only God can cure your sin problem. God alone can cleanse us from our sin and make us holy, able to stand before His face safely. Sin is a debt which man must pay, but a debt which only God can pay. That's what we learn. But unlike leprosy, no man is exempt from this disease. No one is exempt from this plague of sin. So let me ask you, who's the leper? We've been considering leprosy, but who's the leper? Is it you? Are you a spiritual leper? Is this your condition? I'm not asking you if you are a sinner, because you are. God says so. All of our human existence testifies to that fact. But I'm asking you if you know yourself to be a sinner. Have you come to recognize that fact? Have you come here to find a remedy and a cure and a cleansing? Are you looking for a Savior? Man who must pay your debt, but God, who alone is able to pay it and to make you clean. If you are such a one, consider with me in the second place Christ and the cleansing. Here we find such a one who is not only able to cleanse you from your sin, but what's more, He is willing. This leper came to Jesus in faith, imploring Him, begging Him, kneeling down before Him, saying, "If You are willing, You can make me clean." You can get a sense of this man's desperation. He didn't approach Christ here saying, "Unclean, unclean," as he ought to. But he came begging for mercy. Can that be said of you this morning? Have you experienced something of this in your own life? Mark tells us in verse 41 and 42, "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out His hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.' As soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." Compassion. Compassion is the emotion most frequently attributed to Christ in the Gospels. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, Jesus saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 2, Jesus says, I have compassion on the multitude. In Mark chapter 9, in verse 22, Jesus heals a demon-possessed son out of compassion. Jesus Christ is a compassionate and merciful man, for He is the most merciful God in the flesh. And we see the very nature of God revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus was moved with compassion. His sympathy and pity for this man moved Him then to show mercy. But it's interesting. Some very early manuscripts of this text say that Jesus was angry, moved with anger. It may or may not be original, and I don't think we can say with 100% certainty. But either way, there's no contradiction. For if Jesus was angry, He was angry over the effects of sin. Compassion and righteous indignation are not contradictory. They are not mutually exclusive. Here, Jesus hated the disease, but cared for the afflicted leper. Compassion and righteous anger are not in conflict. And we see them both perfectly displayed in our Lord. Jesus had pity on this man, suffering from the effects of sin in his body and in his soul, and was moved to show mercy. And so Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, and He said, I am willing. Be cleansed. Just like the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, Jesus reveals the mercy of God in identifying with the suffering and the afflicted. The mercy of the triune God is manifest in His compassionate touch of the sufferer. Jesus touches the untouchable. Jesus shows compassion where others show contempt. And we see the immediate healing of this man. Mark anthropomorphizes the leprosy. He says the leprosy departed. The leprosy could not stand the words and touch of our Lord, and so it flees. The uncleanness itself could not stand in the presence of the Most Holy One, the Most Pure One. And so it utterly vanished. Jesus speaks with power and says, I am willing, be cleansed. And this here is a command. He commands the leprosy and the uncleanness to depart, and it obeys. And He commands the man to simply receive salvation. Be cleansed, He says. The man here is merely a recipient. He is told to be cleansed. He's a passive recipient. All he has to do is stand there. Really, all he has to do is stay kneeling there before the Lord. All he has to do is yield. The man was willing to submit to the will and authority of Jesus in this matter. And so all he does is receive salvation. And so we see here the ability and willingness of Jesus to save. But we also see His purity and His holiness. We should ask ourselves the question, did Jesus become unclean in touching this leper? Ordinarily, if another man touched this leper, he would be defiled himself. But we aren't talking about an ordinary man. We aren't even talking about a human person. We're talking about Jesus. He is a divine person. Jesus always acts from God, as God, for men, as a man. And God cannot be defiled. Jesus here is the source of holiness. He's the source of all purity. Instead of Jesus being defiled by this man's uncleanness, it worked in the opposite direction. Jesus radically reverses the direction. He's not defiled by uncleanness, but rather He imparts purity. Jesus imputes and imparts His purity. As the church father, Origen, writes, he says, "The hand of the Lord is found to have touched not a leper, but a body made clean." John Chrysostom, another church father, says, "He touched the leper to signify that he heals not as a servant, but as Lord. For the leprosy did not defile his hand, but his holy hand cleansed the leper's body." Jesus is not defiled by the touch, for he touched a body made pure by the very act of his touch. It was the very touch of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Jesus is the source and fount from which all healing and cleansing comes. What the law could not do, Christ does in the gospel. The law had no power to heal, no power to cleanse. At best, the law could only pronounce someone clean. It couldn't make them clean. Upon examination, the priest would pronounce a leper clean. The law then merely made provision. It merely made provision for an already cleansed man to re-enter the temple of God. But it had no power itself. The law offers no remedy. It only points to the need for the solution, which God alone provides in the gospel. Again, what the law could not do, Christ does in the gospel. Christ offers healing and cleansing. He offers incorruptible purity so that sinners may enter into eternal communion with God their Father through faith in Him. Christ is the substance of the ceremonial law. In Christ, the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. He is the temple of God, for the presence of God dwells in Him. And so, in order to worship God, you must come to Jesus. You must come to this divine person who is the object of our worship. But He is not only the temple of God. He's also the once for all, the ultimate temple sacrifice. Christ's death in His body in the new temple cleanses sinners in order to make them pure for worship. He's the only source of purity and holiness by which or through which any man may approach God safely. This is what Jesus is pointing to here in this parable, or this miracle. This miracle is acting as a parable of these significant spiritual truths for us. It's revealing to us the nature of the gospel. If you wish to come to God at all, you must come to Jesus. But only make sure you come to Him safely, in purity. For any unclean person who comes near the temple risks death. Uncleanness puts a person in danger before God. You must come to Jesus. You must believe in Jesus. The demons believe in God and tremble. The demons even believe that Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God, but still they tremble. And so you must come to Him, for He's God. But you must worship Him. We learn here that if you wish to come to God safely, then you must come through the blood of Jesus Christ. No sinner, no spiritual leper can safely approach God in his uncleanness, stained by the pollution of his own sin. And so you must be clothed with the purity of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. You must be cleansed and made pure by Christ alone, through faith alone. This is your only hope of being able to come to God safely. And so in our text, Jesus shows Himself to be the new temple of God. He's the fulfillment of the law. But He's also the way into that temple. You must come to Him alone and worship Him, but you must come through Him, trusting in who He is. trusting in what He came to do, trusting in His perfect atonement, His temple sacrifice, which cleanses sinners. Which leads us to our third and final point. Duty and the disciple. We can only safely enter into the presence of God clothed in the purity of Christ. Christ shows Himself here to be the only way. For He alone is able to make you clean. But He's not only able to make you clean, He's willing. The leper is cleansed by Jesus' contagious holiness. He touches the untouchable. He shows compassion where others show contempt. The leper only has to come and submit to salvation. He only has to come and receive it. Consider how this leper approaches our Lord. Somehow, some way, the sinner heard about Him. He was an outcast, confined to the desolate places in isolation. But somehow he heard about the Christ. And he longed for Him. He desired Him. And when he finally saw Jesus, he came running to Him. But the law demanded that when he approached others, he should scream out, "Unclean, unclean." This he did not do. Despite his disobedience, he knew he needed Jesus. Rather, in light of his disobedience, he knew he needed Jesus. He needed to be cleansed. He needed to be forgiven. We learn from this most desperate man how we are to apply ourselves to Christ. First, we must come to Him humbly. This man came to Jesus imploring Him, begging Him for mercy. And he came down kneeling. Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 8 that this man worshipped Jesus. Luke tells us that this man fell down on his face and said, "Lord, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." He called Him Lord. He knew Him to be the Christ. If you wish to come to Christ for mercy, if you are a sinner and spiritual leper, you must apply yourself to Him humbly. Desire Him. Worship Him. Come to Him in reverence and humility. But we also learn, secondly, that we must come to Christ convinced of His power. The leper said, "If You are willing, You can make me clean." This man had no doubt of Jesus' ability. Whatsoever He wills to do, He is able. Christ's ability is no question in this man's mind. He's God incarnate, sent from God to do the will of God. If you wish to come to Christ for mercy, if you are a sinner and spiritual leper, you must apply yourself to Him, convinced of His power. Third, you must come to Him in submission to His will. "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." This man came to Him with his specific need. He said, "I need to be cured and cleansed. Only You are able to do it. Please do it, if it be Your will." This man was perfectly content to submit to the will of God. He knew he had nothing to offer Christ except his misery. And so, if you wish to come to Christ for mercy, if you are a sinner and spiritual leper, you must apply yourself to Him, content to submit to His will. And so my exhortation to you is to come to Him. Come to Him in humility, convinced of His power. ready to submit to His will. Come as this leper did. You have nothing to offer Christ for His mercy except your misery, which needs it. You have nothing to contribute to your salvation except your sin, which makes it necessary. And so come to Him. The man contributed nothing to his cleansing. He merely came to Christ and received it. Jesus Christ said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And so we also learn that Christ is not only able to cleanse us, but He is willing. Matthew Henry writes, "Christ most readily wills favors to those that most readily refer themselves to His will." Christ most readily wills favors to those that most readily refer themselves to His will. The leper had no need to doubt Christ's willingness. Our Lord never refused to bless those who came to Him willing to receive His blessing. He never refuses them. Did Jesus not say, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Did He not promise, "The one who comes to Me, I will by no means cast out"? Where's the exception? Where's the exception there? Christ most readily wills to save those in their misery that most readily come to Him for mercy. This is your duty. This is your duty. To come to Christ and to worship Him. He commands you to do this. But how compassionate, how merciful is the one who sweetens His commands with gospel promises, who promises to save you when you come, to forgive you of your sin, to cleanse you of all your impurity, to make you fit for heaven. You only must come to Him and receive it. He commands you to come, and He shows you His willingness to receive you. But let us just briefly consider Christ's command to this man, to this cleansed man, and to this man's response. Jesus told this man to obey the law, which required that he show himself to the priest, be then pronounced clean, and then go all the way to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice and worship to God. Jesus required this because He did not come to abolish the law, but rather to fulfill it. We've already considered that. But He also required it so that the leaders in Jerusalem might know that the Messiah had come. He says, "Give them a testimony." When John the Baptist sent disciples to Jesus, saying, "Jesus, are You the Christ?" Jesus responded and said, "Tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed," Jesus says, "blessed is he who is not offended because of Me." Jesus' cleansing of this leper, it was a proclamation of the gospel. And it would have been so to the priests and leaders in Jerusalem who saw this man, previously a leper, now clean. So it was a testimony to them. But we'll have to see later. We'll have to progress through Mark's gospel to see just exactly how Jerusalem responds to such news. But despite the great faith of this leper, who came to Christ for cleansing, we see his unbelief in disobedience. How often is that our story? How often and how clearly is our faith so mixed with unbelief, mixed with disobedience, which stems from unbelief? You see, this leper came to Him with great faith, but he left in unbelief. Not unbelief that he's the Christ, but he disobeyed the Lord. Mark tells us in verse 45, "However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in the deserted place, and they came to him from every direction." Here we see from this man cleansed, we see the danger of zeal without knowledge. Proverbs 19 and verse 2. "It is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hastens with his feet." This cleansed man, this new man, this new creation, acted out of zeal and gratitude. Of course he did. But he acted in disobedience to the express command of the Master. And this resulted in great hindrance to the ministry of Jesus and the preaching of the gospel. In fact, the word for proclaiming here, this man went about proclaiming it freely. This word for proclaiming is the same word for preaching, which we considered last week. This man was an unsent preacher. He was not sent to preach. And so he hindered the advance of the gospel, even when trying to promote it. And here we see, by way of negative example, the duty of the disciple. And we'll conclude with this. Dear brothers and sisters, let us commend this man's great faith in coming to Christ. Let us imitate him in his zeal for the Lord and his kingdom. Let us even imitate him in his living in gratitude. But it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hastens with his feet. May we always be zealous for the Lord. May we do all things with thanksgiving and gratitude. But may we do all things well and with knowledge. Our good motives are never an excuse for sin. Let us then come to Christ for healing and cleansing. Let us then, clothed in his incorruptible purity, boldly approach God and boldly live unto God in faith. But may it always be according to his word. Christ is not only our Savior, but he is our Master. He is the teacher. We're the disciples. And the duty of the disciples is to follow the teacher. Paul writes in Romans 10 and verse 11, he says, "Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord." May the world know us by our love and zeal for the Lord. But may it also be done, may it always be done in obedience to his will. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for this portion of your word where we see the physical analogy of our sin so clearly. God, we are those spiritual, we are the leper, that spiritual leper, God, who is infected and affected by sin, our own sin, the sin of this world. And so we thank you for this clear portrait, this picture, God, of our own desperate condition before you. God, if anyone here is outside of Christ, they are unclean, unfit to approach you safely, unfit for heaven. And so we pray, God, for all of us, and especially those, God, who are not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not submit to him and his will. God, we pray that you would do a saving work here, that you would save sinners and save lepers, cleanse the lepers here, as you have cleansed so many of us and imputed to us the perfect righteousness and purity of our Lord. God, give them a love for God. Give us all, we pray, God. Give us all a love and a zeal for our Lord and Savior and our Master. Give us knowledge. Give us wisdom. Give us a greater measure of faith, God, that we may walk after Him all the days of our life, glorifying Him, honoring Him, worshiping Him. God, we pray all of these things for the glory of our Savior. In His name, amen.